in miracles.
And that is why you will never hear me mention his name.
Deliver Brexit. Unite the country.
We will make America great again.
Views on News with Mark Latham.
Leader of One Nation in New South Wales, Mark Latham, joins me on the phone this afternoon. Hello, Mark.
G'day, Brent. Thanks for having me on the show a day early.
Pleasure. Never mind. I was just thinking I might have to change that intro next week.
Oh, you might have to. we'll all be tuned in exactly this time next week, trying to get the early results to see how they go, Trump versus Biden. It's very unpredictable, hard to know. You know, the polls say one thing, the voter registration numbers say a different thing, the energy is all with Trump, but American politics has gone so weird, so almost like a parallel universe, it's almost impossible to read.
Well, in some states, I was reading this morning, Mark, in some states there are more people that have voted already before the polls open than voted completely in those states in 2016.
Yeah, early voting's a thing in Australia now, isn't it?
It is.
Pre-poll voting is extraordinary, and it's catching on overseas. Maybe it's a COVID thing. People are thinking it's safer to avoid the rush on polling day itself, but they do have big early voting numbers. They've got big voter registration numbers, so both sides are turning out. Their system's voluntary, of course. It's not compulsory to vote, and the turnout has a big impact. If you can mobilise your troops to get out there and vote for you, and the other side doesn't, then you can be unpopular and still win.
Mark, Dr. Keith Suter is a regular guest on our program here, and he loves telling us that in America there are more people that vote for America's Got Talent or American Idol than there are actually turn up to vote for the President of the United States.
Yeah, the numbers have been coming down over a long period of time, 40 or 50 years. The trend has been for more people to be disillusioned with politics. It'll probably be reversed a bit, strangely, in this context, because looking from afar, you just think their political system has become dysfunctional. And the level of division and media abuse by the candidates themselves of each other. But people are going to go out and vote. And obviously a lot of people love Trump, a lot hate him. He's a polarising figure, and this time next week we'll start to know how that's played out in the world's greatest democracy.
What do you think, if any, damage has been done to Joe Biden's campaign with his slip on Sunday night when he was doing that virtual concert via a TV link, and twice he called Mr. Trump George?
Well, it's hard to know how anyone could support Biden when he's saying we can't have four more years of George, meaning George Bush. Either Bush the first or Bush the second. There were two George Bushes, of course. So Biden is a strange, strange candidate in that you'd think in normal circumstances, exposed to media scrutiny, having to do lots of speeches and media interviews, that all these gaffes would render him unelectable. But COVID has done him a big favour in two respects. One, it's been a nightmare issue for Trump, of course. But the second is it's allowed Biden to, you know, minimise his amount of campaign appearances. But even there, to say that you really don't know who you're running against and to make that level of mistake is extraordinary. And on top of that, saying he wants to get rid of the oil industry in the United States, well, you know, kiss goodbye Texas and Pennsylvania, you'd think, because these are radical, radical policies to close down gas and oil in the United States where they love their big cars. You'd have to imagine that's a massive vote loser.
Okay, let's come back home. The former New South Wales Auditor General Tony Harris has basically said, he's called on Gladys Berejiklian to resign, saying that two scandals is way too much. He's alleged the Premier's office breached the State Records Act when it destroyed documents relating to this $250 million in council grants.
Well, yeah, for understandable reasons. There's a law in New South Wales saying if you're in government, you've got to keep records of how you're spending public money. That makes common sense, of course. We want accountability in government. And you can't just go shredding documents for a $252 million grant program. But that's what's happened out of the Premier's office. I know this other scandal is somewhat dwarfed the shredding of the documents. But Tony Harris makes a really good point. And it's going to be argued this was against the law. It is some form of weird cover-up to spend all this money in a rorted scheme and then shred the documents, contrary to the State Records Act. So the Premier there has something to answer for. We can't have government where you're spending a huge amount of money, handing it out to your favourite MPs, and then you shred the documents. People work very, very hard for their money, low-income earners, people in manual jobs work very hard, honestly, to pay their taxes, and there's got to be proper systems in place rather than someone in the office working the shredder overtime. So, you know, I agree with Tony Harris. It's a major scandal, and the Parliament has got to get to the bottom of it, and perhaps it needs to be referred on to other inquiries to examine all those facts and find out from the Premier why she shredded those documents.
Well, we know with the ICAC inquiry with Maguire, I mean, he obviously shredded papers, but he wanted computers destroyed as well. Where is this ICAC inquiry heading? It was all front page news for the last couple of weeks, and it seems to have sort of gone a little quiet now.
Well, the Parliament's not sitting, and the ICAC has finished its public hearings. So all the witnesses have given their evidence, and now the fellow assisting the Commission provides some material in December. He sends that out to people like Maguire and Gladys Berejiklian to say, these are my tentative recommendations, what's your response? We mightn't have an ICAC report about Maguire and Gladys Berejiklian for 12 months, because it's quite extraordinary that you might remember the Chinese money scandal with Ernest Wong and the Labor Party head office.
Yes.
We haven't seen that report, the findings and recommendations. John Sidoti had to stand down from the ministry for a matter referred to ICAC. They haven't even started that investigation. And then you go back to the original Darryl Maguire problem, the corruption at Canterbury Council, what they call Operation Dasher. That's over 2 years ago now, and we haven't had a report, findings and recommendations. So it's almost like ICAC is on strike down there. They do a lot of hearings, by and large, but they're not producing reports and findings. So Gladys Berejiklian could be in this limbo situation of not knowing whether or not she's cleared by ICAC for 12 months or more. It's extraordinary. ICAC's got to get on with the job in the public interest of producing its final report and letting the people of New South Wales know, who fund ICAC, let the people know where these matters stand.
Was this a similar amount of time that it took from the ICAC hearing with the Obeid situation before it became, you know, a criminal matter?
Well, no, they were a lot faster.
Right.
They got on with the job and reported another, what seemed like trivial matters. Margaret Kinnean's daughter's boyfriend had a traffic matter
that
they investigated and reported on. But there hasn't been delays as long as 2 years as there has been for the Canterbury Council corruption. And these other delays just make me think that ICAC, which does complain about a lack of funding, is sort of saying, unless you give us more funding, we're not going to produce the reports. Well, if that's their attitude, it's the wrong one, and they've got to accelerate these things. Someone like John Sidoti, who was the sports and multicultural minister, he's been in limbo now for over 12 months, hasn't even had an inquiry down there to see can he come back to the front bench. So I don't think it's very fair on individuals, whether or not they've done the wrong thing. I mean, you know, that old saying, justice delayed is justice denied, it holds true.
All right, we're talking to the New South Wales leader of One Nation, Mark Latham. We'll take a break and we'll continue our discussion after this.